بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is our 10th session for the second level. I'm sorry, 10th session for our مستوى الثاني, second level fiqh class. And today, we want to return to the subject that we began last week, which is what? Does anybody remember what the topic was last week? Nobody? Wow. Our brain, huh? Salat al-Janaza, mashallah. Salat al-Janaza. Now, we want to return to the topic of Salat al-Janaza that we started last week, and we went over it a little bit, and we said that this week, inshallah, we're going to try to go into a few more of the details. And this is a general description. We want to go into a few more of the details, and then, inshallah, do the exercises. So last week, we began with this topic, the sixth topic, Sifatu Salat ala al-Mayyit. Sifatu al-Salati ala al-Mayyit. Yani the description of the prayer over the deceased, the dead person. And we have a very simple, yani brief description of this Salat, and then we're giving two supplications and the legal ruling concerning Salat al-Janaza. Okay, so we're going to quickly look at this once again. We're going to look at some of the details and then we're going to do the exercises. Okay, so if you have page 16, and if you don't have a copy of the notes, then please try to sit beside somebody who has a copy, so that you can follow us, you can read with us. All right? Okay, so let's translate first the topic, the title of this topic, which is Sifatu Salat ala al-Mayyit. What is the meaning of Sifatu Salat ala al-Mayyit? Naam, Abu Bakr.
The description of the prayer upon the deceased.
The description of the prayer upon the deceased. Al-Mayyit, yani the person who passed away, person who died. We have four lines here which summarize the Sifatu Salat ala al-Mayyit. And as I said, today we'd like to look at a little more of the details of this particular topic. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Kaif halak?
Alhamdulillah.
Barakallahu feekum. Okay. The sisters, they're going to share a copy with us. Is there somebody that doesn't have a copy for today? They can use this and we'll pass it back to them? Huh? Okay. That belongs to one of the sisters, but they're going to sit with somebody else, so they gave us one, mashallah. Charity of Ramadan. All right? So this is the title of our topic. Can we help? Oh, okay. Oh, this is the title of our topic. And this is a very important topic. Everybody must die, right? Allah tells us in the Quran, "Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut." Every soul will taste of death. So this is something that is happening all the time. Muslims are dying. It's obligatory upon the Muslims to pray over the person who has deceased, to wash their body, to shroud them, and to pray over them. This description of the Salat ala al-Mayyit is very important. Everybody needs to know it. Okay, sometimes when we go to a janazah, the person who's going to perform the prayer may explain to the Muslims how to perform Salat al-Janaza, meaning indicating that Muslims don't know how to perform Salat al-Janaza. This is something you have to know how to do. This is obligatory upon us. We need to know this. If a person doesn't know it, we don't say that. We don't criticize them or condemn them or belittle them. But I'm saying that it's important that we know how to do this. Okay, so let's look at the quick, brief description and then let's look at some of the details. The description begins with Yanwi wa yukabbiru. Yanwi wa yukabbiru means what? He makes intention and he says Allahu Akbar. He makes intention, nawa yanwi. He makes intention, for Salatul Janaza, wa yukabbiru, and then he says Allahu Akbar. Wa yakra'u al-Fatihata. And he recites or reads the opening chapter of the Quran. Second line, yukabbiru wa yusalli ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says Allahu Akbar and he sends salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He prays Yani salat ala nabi, yani has many meanings. Yani some of the scholars said, as I think I mentioned last week, Imam Bukhari says that Abu Aliya said, rahimahullah, that salat ala nabi means the thana of Allah, yani ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and al malaika. Yani the praising, Allah's praising of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst the assembly of the angels, praising the Prophet Muhammad. So when we say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, and this is one of the meanings that the scholar said, it means we are asking Allah to praise our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the assemblies of the angels. Now, so here the second part, the second line says, yukabbir wa yusalli ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani he says Allahu Akbar, and he sends salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Third line, yukabbiru wa yada'u lil mayyiti. Yukabbiru. He says Allahu Akbar, and then he makes dua, supplicates for the dead person. Supplication for the dead person, and we have a description of a couple of the supplications that can be recited here. The last line, yukabbiru wa yusallimu. He says Allahu Akbar, and he makes the taslim. What does we mean by taslim? He says, As-salamu alaykum, wa as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, wa as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Naam. He said to the right. And this is some of the details that we want to come to. Okay? Okay, this is the brief description. And after that, min al-ad'iyya lil-mayyit, yani from amongst the supplications for the dead person. And then there are two mentioned here. And at the end, on the next page, it says, as-salatu ala al-mayyit fardu kifayatin. Meaning what? As-salatu عَلَى الْمَيِّتْ فَرْضُ كِفَايَةٍ. What does this mean? The prayer upon the deceased is a communal obligation. What do we mean by communal obligation? Annie? And if some of the people perform it, fulfill this obligation, the other people are freed of blame. But if nobody does it, we all are sinful. As opposed to, he said, if somebody says to you, As-salamu alaykum, it's obligatory upon you to respond. Individually, you must respond. And this is called fard wa? Fard ayn. Alright, so the description and the supplication, it all ends with saying, As-salatu ala al-mayyit fard kifaya, it's a communal obligation. إِذَا قَامَ بِهِ بَعْضٌ, if some of the people fulfill it, سَقَطَ الْإِثْمُ عَنَ الْبَاقِي, then the sin will be يعني dropped from the others, the remaining people. يعني if some of the people fulfill this obligation, there will be no sin on the others. But if nobody does it, the sin is upon us all. Alright, now we want to go back a little bit and look at the details of this description of Salat alaykum salam ala al-mayyit. Okay, we begin by saying yanwi wa yukabbiru wa yaqra al-fatihata. That he yani makes intention and then says Allahu Akbar and then reads al-fatiha. One of the things that we notice from this description is that yani there are four lines here, right? And each line contains takbir. Yanwi wa yukabbir, yukabbir wa yusalli, yukabbir wa yad'u, yukabbir wa yusallim. So we see that there's the verb yukabbir used four times, meaning that the pronouncement of the words Allahu Akbar take place four times. And from the details of Salat ala al-Mayyit is that it has also been narrated authentically that Salat al-Janazah may be performed with five takbirs instead of four. Rather, it may be performed with six takbirs, or seven takbirs, or eight takbirs, or nine takbirs. All of this has been authentically reported. So that, yani, we shouldn't imagine that Salatul Janazah is only with four takbirs. Rather, this is what was more common, and this is what was narrated the most from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, if this is performed with five takbirs, or six, or seven, or eight, or nine, all of this is permissible. Alright, what is more common, yani, in terms of narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is four. Alright, this is the first thing. Second thing, even before that, we should also add that, yani, in the performance of Salatul Janazah, yani, the Imam who's leading the prayer should stand where? Huh? She's standing in front of the jama'ah. Naam. Facing the dead. Yani? Okay, the deceased will be in front of the imam, right? But facing the qibla. Naam, facing the qibla. Anything else? Any other detail about this that we should be careful to observe? If the deceased is male or female? Uh-huh. Yeah, the position is different, right? So what is the position? If the deceased is male, the imam should be standing where? At the what? The head. Head, ra's. At the head of the deceased, if it's a male. If it's a female, the imam should be standing wasat. Yani in the middle. In the middle of the body. Okay, so this is also from the details that have been mentioned in authentic sunnah. Yani if the person who passed away is a male, the imam who's leading the prayer should be standing at the head of the yani janazah. And if it is a female, they should be standing in the middle of the body. Now, okay, after this, then we said, يَنْوِي وَيُكَبِّرُ يَقْرَأُ الْفَاتِحَةَ. Yani, you make intention, and that intention we said is what? What words do you say for this intention? What are the words of the intention? No words to be said. Rather, it is intention in the heart. Intention is in the heart. يَنْوِي وَيُكَبِّرُ. Yani, the person has intention in their heart to perform the Salatul Janazah over this person. And after that, they say, Allahu Akbar. Here, we should also mention at the time of saying Allahu Akbar, what else should be done at that time? Raising the hands. The hands should be raised. Yani, there's difference of opinion about raising the hand in Salatul Janazah concerning whether the hands are raised with each takbir or only with the first takbir. Some scholars hold the view that it should only be raised with the first takbir. And they have some evidence that they use. There's nothing conclusive, decisive, yani authentic and to the point. Rather, yani there are some weak narrations for both views. Weak narrations for both views, except that those people who say that you should raise the hands with every takbir have an authentic narration from Abdullah ibn Umar that he used to do that. Abdullah ibn Umar. Okay, there's no authentic narration that goes back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he raised his hand with every takbir or only with the first takbir. There's no authentic narration for either view. But there is an authentic narration from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma that he used to raise his hands with every takbir in Salatul Janazah. And Abdullah ibn Umar, being who he is, yani the most meticulous of companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in following everything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, yani it's unlikely that he just made that up himself. And in any case, these are two views. Both of them are legitimate. Both of them have some evidence, but no conclusive, decisive evidence for either view. Whatever a person does, inshallah, there's no sin on them, except that if a person is following the imam and they know that the imam is raising his hands with every takbir or only with the first takbir, it is more proper and befitting that you follow the imam. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامِ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ, that the imam has been made to be followed. So we should follow the imam. Even if we have a different view from the imam, if he's doing something that is a legitimate view from the people of sunnah, even though you may have a different view, we should follow the imam. That's better. That's what's better. Now, question? Wa alaikum salam.
Just a question about following the imam.
Yeah.
Because a brother was telling me last time that, for example, one day in the masjid, the imam said that the jama'ah should do something. But he was not, that brother is not really knowledgeable, but he was not sure about if it's like
sunnah. Yeah, he wasn't sure if it was sunnah to do it, what the imam was telling the people to do.
Okay, my question is like that. So what the person should do, to follow the imam or to go check?
You should follow the imam. Okay, that's the general rule, that a person should follow the imam. The Prophet ﷺ said the imam has been placed in front of you to be followed. I'm saying that's the general response, right? But we would add to that, without going into a lot of details because we want to move on through this topic, right? But this is an important question. However, the first thing is that we should be praying behind an imam that is worthy of being followed. We should be praying behind an imam that's worthy of being followed. We shouldn't be praying behind anyone. Okay? Even though Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, if a person prays behind an imam who's from Ahlul Bid'ah, the prayer is valid. Unless that bid'ah is bid'ah mukaffira, yani kufr, the person is a kafir. Of course, the prayer is not valid from a kafir. But if that person's bid'ah is not mukaffira, it's not that which amounts to kufr, the prayer behind the imam of Ahl Bid'ah is valid. However, if a person is able to pray behind an imam of Ahl Sunnah, then yani it's more befitting that the person should go out of the way and pray behind the people of Sunnah. So the point is here, right? A person should be praying behind an imam that's worthy to be followed. We shouldn't be praying behind an imam, I don't know if he follows the Sunnah or not. Then don't pray behind him. Go and pray behind somebody who follows the Sunnah. And then, when you don't know, you say, this man is imam from Ahl Sunnah, so I'm going to follow him. But if you're praying behind people, you don't know if they follow the Sunnah or not, then you put yourself in a position, you don't know what to do. In general, we should follow the imam, unless we know that the imam is doing something that is not permissible in Islam. Then we shouldn't follow the imam. Now, we're not going to take a lot of questions, brothers, but now, you part of the same question?
Yeah, part of the same question. Actually, the imam told them like it was Jum'ah and it was raining. So the imam wanted to combine...
It was Jum'ah and it was raining, he wanted to combine the prayers. Yeah, so the brother didn't know if we should do that or not.
Yeah, but the brother, he didn't know if they should combine yes or not.
He didn't know.
But he didn't follow the imam.
He did not, okay.
He checked and he found out that they couldn't combine... So my question still remains...
I still say the same thing, we should follow the imam.
Okay,
unless we know that the imam is doing something that's not permissible in Islam. Unless we know. If we don't know, we should follow the imam. But before following the imam, we should be following an imam that's worthy to be followed. We shouldn't be praying behind anybody. If the imam makes a mistake, then there's no blame on you. If the imam makes a mistake, there's no blame on you. As far as the combining the prayers, there's difference of opinion about this. There are scholars who say you can combine. But the correct view is that you can't combine Jummah with Asr. That's the correct view. But there is difference of opinion about it. So a person didn't fall into sin if they made a mistake. That's not sinful. We don't say the person who makes an error in judgment, and a person of knowledge who makes ijtihad in an issue and they make a mistake. We don't say that. That's not sinful. They're not sinful. They just made a mistake.
So in that case, those who combine Jummah and Asr, they'll have to... Their prayer are valid, or they have to...
Allahu Alam. I mean, the correct view is that you can't combine, right? So if a person knows that you can't combine, then they should pray the prayer over.
Okay.
In any case, yani, this is an issue about which there's difference of opinion. So yani, there's some room here. But combining the prayers in general, where it's permissible, it's not obligatory to combine the prayers. It's not obligatory. So even if it were permissible, it's not mandatory for the people to join the prayer with the imam anyway. They can pray the prayer that's due, and they don't have to combine with the imam. They don't have to. It's not obligatory to combine the prayer with the imam. It's a permission. Naam, Muhammad.
I was just going to verify, like, is this also for general prayers, like when the imam doesn't do this, he just goes down?
He doesn't raise his hands?
Yeah.
It's in general. It's in general. But again, I say, follow the imam that follows the sunnah. Don't follow any imam. Don't follow any imam. You don't raise your hands?
I think he's talking about...
Yani, when they're standing, they go to ruku without raising their hands. They just say Allahu Akbar without raising their hands. Okay. In any case, this is a different matter. We don't want to like get stuck here, but I have to answer your question, right? We'll say that what is correct is to raise the hands. Okay? According to authentic hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, from more than 30 companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I think it was Al-Imam Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid that mentions this subject in detail. That this is something that has been narrated from the Prophet ﷺ through more than 30 companions of the Prophet ﷺ, including the Khulafa al-Rashidin, al-Mahdiin, the four Khalifas, including the 10 people who promised paradise, and many other companions of the Prophet, that the Prophet ﷺ used to raise his hands at the time of making takbir and the beginning of the prayer, at the time of going to ruku, and at the time of coming from ruku. In these three occasions. And it's also narrated in Bukhari from Abdul ibn Umar that the Prophet ﷺ used to raise his hands on a fourth occasion, and that is when he was standing up for the third rak'ah after sitting for tashahud. That's narrated from Abdul ibn Umar in Sahih al-Bukhari. These are clearly established in the Sunnah. If Imam doesn't do this, then he has opposed the Sunnah. So this kind of Imam, and he better not to pray behind him. He's not following the Sunnah. Better not to pray behind him. But if you have to pray behind him, then no harm. Yani, it doesn't mean the prayer is invalid. It doesn't make the prayer invalid because he doesn't raise his hand. But the prayer, yani, its perfection is reduced for sure. If a person knowingly abandons the sunnah, then the perfection of the prayer is reduced. Or even if a person unknowingly abandons the sunnah, then the prayer is going to be, yani, decreased in its perfection. Is it permissible for the congregation to raise their hands if imam raises his hands for dua after the prayer? Raising the hands in dua after the prayer is not legislated in the sunnah. That's clear. Yani, whoever examines the issue, there's no proof anywhere, not in an authentic hadith or a weak hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ used to raise his hands after making taslim from the congregational prayer and making dua. Rather, it's narrated that he used to make dua in lots of narrations, and none of them mentioning him raising his hands. Therefore, this is contrary to the sunnah. Yani, this is something that a person should not join the imam in. They should not join the imam in this. It's clearly against the sunnah. This is definitely not legislated. Okay?
But in other occasions, you can raise your hand when you make...
Yani, in general, when a person is making dua, you can raise your hands. Now, in general, when a person is making dua, it's legislated to raise your hands, meaning that it's mashru' in the sharia to raise your hands for dua. And it's commendable, and it's praiseworthy, and it's rewardable, and it's one of the means through which dua is accepted. But that is, in general, specifically, there are some places where it's known, it's established, that the Prophet ﷺ made dua, he did not raise his hands. In those cases, the sunnah is to not raise the hands. Okay, so after the congregational prayer, the sunnah is not to raise the hands. In the dua of the khatib, in salat and jumu'ah prayer, when the khatib, the one who's giving the khutbah, makes dua, the sunnah is not to raise the hands. Not to raise the hands. Okay? When a person is making tashahud, after the tashahud, before the taslim, the Prophet said, and supplicate with whatever you like. The sunnah in that supplication is not to raise the hands. So there are places where supplication is legislated, and it's known that the Prophet ﷺ did not raise hands, then we should not raise our hands. Did you have somebody? I saw a couple of hands over here.
Are there narrations that, like, after the first tasbih, that you, instead of a tasbih, that you recite something else?
In janazah?
Yes.
Yes. We're going to come to that, inshallah. I'll come to your question. We're going to read that, inshallah, as we go.
Raising the hands during the witr?
Dua kunut of witr? Is it legislated to raise the hands? It's legislated. Naam. Now, inshallah, whoever would like to read, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen has a clear, definitive fatwa concerning this, that it's from the sunnah to raise the hands in dua of kunut. Even he describes how to raise the hands. Inshallah, I will send it to you if somebody reminds me. Okay, let's get back to janazah. The brother's question, we're going to come to his question right now. That was going to be the next point. Yanwi wa yukabbir wa yaqra al-fatiha. Yani, this is the first line, so he makes intention, says Allahu Akbar, and then he recites al-fatiha. And there are narrations from the sunnah, Shaykh al-Albani mentions in Ahkam al-Janaiz, the legal rulings concerning funeral prayers, he says, yani, that after al-Fatiha, it's also sunnah to recite a surah from the Qur'an. Yani, after al-Fatiha, it's sunnah to recite a surah from the Qur'an. And whoever wants to go back to the book Ahkam al-Janaiz, you'll find the narrations plentiful in the things that we're going to mention today that's not mentioned here. Whatever we mention today is from Ahkam al-Janaiz by Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani. Naam.
When the imam goes to the next takbir without following, after come the surah and follow
him? We should follow the imam in general. Naam. When the imam goes from one position to the next, we should follow the imam. We shouldn't, yani, still be staying in one position, the imam is in another position. Naam. So this surah, reciting after al-Fatiha, is from the sunnah. If a person recites it, this is praiseworthy and commendable and rewardable. As well as the takbirs more than four, is also mentioned in the same book that we are referring to, Ahkam al-Janaiz. Second line says, يُكَبِّرُ وَيُصَلِّ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. After the second takbir, what is legislated is that you say Salat ala Nabi. How do you do this? Like in prayer normally. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Like this. This is how you offer Salat ala Nabi. And there are different wordings that have been narrated authentically. Any one of them a person can recite. Third line says, يُكَبِّرُ وَيَدْعُوا لِلْمَيِّتِ. Yani, the person makes takbir again. Keeping in mind that we said what? That there's difference of opinion about raising the hands. A person might raise the hands with every takbir, or only with the first takbir. All of this is permissible. This is the third takbir. And after it, we should supplicate for the dead person. And here, in our description, we have two supplications that are authentically narrated. Allahumma gfir li hayyina wa maytina wa shahidin wa ghaibina. And also Allahumma gfir lahu warhamhu wa afihi wa afu anhu. Both of these are narrated on the same page here, 16. These are from amongst the many supplications that can be recited, yani after the third takbir. Yani the important thing is that a person recites a supplication that's from the sunnah, that's confirmed in authentic sunnah. The fourth takbir says, yukabbiru wa yusallimu. Yani that the person should recite the words Allahu Akbar, and then they should yani offer salams, yani assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. From the details concerning this point, we say, as Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah mentions, yukabbiru wa yad'u wa yusallimu. Yani yukabbiru, make takbir, and supplicate. Yani there's supplication legislated after the fourth takbir, before taslim. Okay, from the narrations concerning this, I just wrote down a quick note just so that, because this is a point that a lot of people skip over. Okay, Shaykh al-Albani mentions in Ahkam al-Janaz, that which is reported by al-Hakim in the Mustadrak, and Hakim said, هَذَا حَدِيثٌ صَحِيحٌ إِنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ يُكَبِّرُ أَرْبَعًا. Yani the Messenger, verily indeed the Messenger of Allah used to make takbir four times. يُكَبِّرُ أَرْبَعًا ثُمَّ يَمْكُثْ سَاعَةً. And then he would remain in that position for some time. Yani سَاعَةً means a period of time. And some of the narrations mention a long time. Yani after the fourth takbir, before he made taslim. فَيَقُولُ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن يَقُولُ. And he would say while he was standing there after the fourth takbir, whatever Allah willed that he say. وَيَقُولُ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن يَقُولَ. Yani he would say what Allah willed for him to say. What was he saying? Whatever Allah willed for him to say. But he was supplicating. And after the fourth takbir. ثُمَّ يُسَلِّمْ. Then, after that supplication, then he would yani make taslim. Okay, so this narration, Al-Hakim said that it's sahih, Shaykh al-Albani also said that it's sahih, he mentions it in Ahkam al-Janaz, that indeed, the Messenger of Allah, كَانَ يُكَبِّرُ أَرْبَعًا. He used to say, Allahu Akbar four times, ثُمَّ يَمْكُثْ سَعَةً. Then he would remain in that position for some time. فَيَقُولُ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن يَقُولَ. And then he would say whatever Allah willed while he was standing there. ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ. Then he gave salams. Yani then he said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Can I read from my phone?
Huh?
Can I read from my phone?
Read from it?
Yeah.
Sure. You want to read from it? You have something you want to read to us?
No, no, to follow you want to read the phone.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Fadl. Yes.
In reference to what you were saying, the cover of Dr. Arba.
No.
You were saying that the, like the father said, whatever you say, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, my understanding is, you know, some people say that you can, in this particular one, when you support, clearly you can make law for yourself, your family, and the Muslims in general.
Okay, as far as what the Prophet supplicated with, the narrator of the hadith says he used to say whatever Allah willed him to say. That means the person is supplicate. Not a specific supplication. Supplicate. No. I don't remember if it was only al-Hakim, but Hakim said that it was sahih. And we just want to give some reference to some of the scholars. Shaykh al-Albani said it's sahih. He mentions it and he says that it's sahih. And he mentions it as a proof for supplicating after the fourth takbir. Shaykh al-Albani mentions it as a proof that it's legislated from the sunnah to supplicate after the fourth takbir. Okay? Any of the details, more details, this is a whole class, yani, that we have for the next few months, right? Every week we sit down for an hour or so, and we have this class about janaiz. It will take us a few months to finish it, right? But today we just want to, get a couple of details that are critical. And from amongst those details is the legislation of supplicating after the fourth takbir. Okay, so yukabbiru wa yusallam, we say, he says Allahu Akbar, and he supplicates, and he makes taslim. Here, we want to make a second note. Yani Shaykh al-Albani mentions a narration, kana yusallimu fil janaza taslimatan khafiyya. Khafiyya. Or khafiyya. Yani, that the Prophet ﷺ used to pronounce the taslim at the end of the salat, yani, not in a loud voice, khafiyah, yani in a low tone, like in a whisper, not out loud, not out loud, that's the point. Okay, and he mentions another narration, كَانَ إِذَا صَلَّ عَلَى الْجَنَائِزِ, whenever the Prophet ﷺ used to pray over the deceased, يُسَلِّمُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعْ مَنْ يَلِيهِ. Then he used to make taslim in such a way that whoever was immediately following him, they would hear him. What does this mean? Mean that he didn't say it loud, but whoever was immediately behind him, he would make the taslim such that whoever was close to him, they would hear him. Okay, so this is a proof of what? That the taslim at the end of the salat should be in a low tone, whisper, not out loud. Okay, and again, person can go back to the original book and see the details. Sheikh has given a lot of references, and he's given many narrations for some things. We're just trying to go through it quickly to give some of the details that are very, very important. And the Sheikh also mentioned some narrations which I didn't write down, but anyway, you can go back and check them. And he mentioned some narrations which prove that the legislation of the takbir at the end of the salat, that is to the right and to the left. And in some of the narrations mentioned, yani the narrator said that he used to yukabbiru taslima, yani mithla taslima at-taslima fi salat, yani meaning that he used to make the taslim like you do it in the prayers in regular salat, that is to the right and to the left. And then the Shaykh mentions other narrations that he used to make taslim only one time, taslima wahida. So both of these are legislated. At the end of the prayer, a person might make taslim to the right and to the left, or only just to the right. Both of these are legislated. And the Shaykh mentions details about it. Yani, this discussion about the description of prayer is yani covered in maybe 20 or 30 pages, right? So we're just talking about it in one page. Obviously, we're not going to cover yani all that he covered in 20 or 30 pages. Okay, so these are a couple of the points that I wanted to mention. Yani, number one, the place of standing. The imam should stand at the head of the deceased if they're male, and in the middle of the body if it's female, if it is a female. And also, the legislation of reciting after Al-Fatiha Surah from the Quran.
When he's a male? No,
female is in the middle. If it's a male, it should be standing at the head. If it's female, it should be standing at the middle. And the Shaykh, he said what? عَلَى رَأْسِ الرَّجُلِ وَوَسَطْ الْمَرْعَى. عَلَى رَأْسِ الرَّجُلِ, at the head of the male and at the middle of the mar'a, the woman. So this is a point, also the point of what? The number of takbirs. That what was most common from the Prophet is four. However, yani sometimes yani you can do five or six or seven or eight or nine. And what is better is that sometimes we do it this way and sometimes we do it that way, and not always do it one way. Just like the opening supplication in our prayers, the Prophet ﷺ recited different supplications. We shouldn't recite one supplication all the time. Sometimes we should say this one, sometime another one, so that we what? Get the whole of the sunnah, not yani grasp one sunnah, hold on to it, and abandon the rest. Okay, so this is also something that we should pay attention to. The supplication after the fourth takbir and the taslim being in a low tone. These are a couple of points that I wanted to mention today. And then, yani, naam. Naam. First, okay, Abdul Halim.
The person should stand at the head of a child who is male.
Yani, in general, male, he says, yani, a male, you should stand at the head, and female at the middle. No.
Also, you mentioned that the taslim would be in a low tone, so therefore the people behind should be paying attention so that they could see.
Now, the people who are behind the imam, yani, and this is in general, yani, the people who are immediately behind the imam should be following the imam, right? And the people who are behind them should follow them. Yani, in prayer in general, it should be like that. Yani, the people should not move until the imam is in his position. How can the people all in the back know that the imam has reached his position? Because the people behind the imam see him, they move, and the people behind them follow them. And this is general in prayer. Naam, Abu Bakr. I don't recall any narration concerning this. Maybe you can help us with what you have read.
I don't know.
No, I don't recall any. I don't recall that it has been described. Allahu a'lam. And if the person should release their hands from holding the right hand, the left hand on the chest, should they release it before taslim or after taslim? That's the question, right? Allahu a'lam. Now, okay, after this, and we want to look quickly at the supplications that are mentioned here. There are two supplications mentioned here. I'll just make a brief comment concerning them. The first supplication on page 16, and in the second half of the page, min al-ada'iyyati lil-mayyita, or it should be min al-ada'iyyati lil-mayyiti, right? Should be lil-mayyiti. Okay, please, brothers and sisters, when you see a printing error or something, make a note of it so that we can correct it. Sometimes I might overlook it. And I don't remember even seeing that before until just now. Okay, lil-mayyiti, majroor. Okay, the first supplication, Allahumma ghfir li hayyina wa mayyitina. O Allah, forgive our living and our dead. O Allah, forgive our living and our dead. Wa shahidina wa ghaibina. Yani, those who are present from us and those who are absent. Yani, forgive them also. Wa saghirina وَكَبِيرِنَا, and the young from amongst us and the elders from amongst us. وَذَكَرِنَا وَأُنْثَانَا, يعني the males from amongst us and the females from amongst us. The second line says, اللَّهُمَّ مَنْ أَحْيَيْتَهُ مِنَّا فَأَحْيِهِ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. O Allah, whoever you cause to be alive from amongst us, yani you're allowed to live, فَأَحْيِهِ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ, then make him to live upon Islam. Yani, at least, yani the outward practices of Islam. وَمَنْ تَوَفَّيْتَهُ, and there's a tanween on the, I mean there's a shadda and a tanween on تَوَفَّيْتَهُ, there should be a shadda without tanween. وَمَنْ تَوَفَّيْتَهُ فَيْتَهُ مِنَّا, and again there's tanween on the noon, on the shadda on the noon, there should be no tanween there. وَمَنْ تَوَفَّيْتَهُ مِنَّا فَتَوَفَّهُ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ, and whoever you take his soul from amongst us, yani whoever you cause to die from amongst us, then cause him to die upon iman, meaning yani that person dies with true iman. Yani being a true believer, not just a person outwardly doing the actions of Islam, but rather a person who dies upon iman in their heart. Now, and in some of the narrations, yani of this, there are two different wordings that came for this supplication that are not mentioned here. Allahumma la tahrimna ajrahu. Allahumma la tahrimna ajrahu. O Allah, do not deprive us of his reward. Yani the reward of the deceased. Do not deprive us from sharing in that reward. وَلَا تُضِلَّنَا بَعْدَهُ, and do not cause us to go astray after him. Yani after the person who has died. لَا تَحْرِمْنَا, do not deprive us, do not prohibit us from أَجْرَهُ, the reward of this one. وَلَا تُضِلَّنَا, and do not cause us to go astray. بَعْدَهُ. In some narrations it has, اللهم لا تحرمنا أجره وَلَا تُفْتِنَّا بَعْدَهُ, and don't يعني cause us to fall into a fitna, a trial after him. وَلَا, يعني the second part, instead of لَا تُضِلَّنَا, لَا تُفْتِنَّا بَعْدَهُ. In any case, يعني in the books of supplications these narrations came, you can look in the Fortress of the Muslim, that's what I would recommend. Unless you have any other good book of supplications from the scholars of Sunnah, you'll find these supplications yani mostly in all of the books of supplication. Fortress of the Muslim, definitely you'll find some of these supplications there. Now, yani after the person passed away, yani don't let our condition change. Yani sometimes somebody dies, right? People change. People change. Somebody died, they lost a loved one, khalas, they give up. Some people give up, some people go astray. Maybe that person was a good influence in their life. After that person passed away, they start getting lax in their deen and they drift off. And how many times have we seen that somebody died and that person was a positive influence in somebody's life after they died, we see the people go astray. Allah, it happens all the time. All the time. Especially children. If they're young and their parents were religious and their parents pass away and they're on their own, a lot of times they don't make it. You know, except by the successes from Allah. Okay, after this, the second supplication that is given here is Allahumma ighfir lahu warhamhu. This is a more detailed supplication and it's not the more common one. It's also found in the Fortress of the Muslim under the supplications for the dead person. Allahumma ighfir lahu warhamhu. O Allah, forgive him or her, warhamhu, and have mercy upon him or her. Wa'afihi wa'afu anhu. Wa'afihi wa'afu anhu. Yani grant that one well-being and pardon them. Pardon. Yani afwa. Pardon them. Wa akram nuzulahu. Yani honor them in terms of their place of descent. Yani honor them in yani what will be given to them now at the time of their death. Now. The what? Afi, yani the meaning here, afihi is the fi'l amr that means grant a person afiyah, well-being, afiyah. Wa'afu anhu means afwun, yani pardoning. Afiyah and afu. Yani afiyah means well-being and afu means pardoning. Wa'afihi, grant him well-being. Wa'afu anhu and pardon him. Wa'akrim nuzulahu and honor him in his place or station. Wa'wasi' mudakhalahu and make spacious his place of entry. Waghsilhu and wash him. Bilma'i wathalji walbardi, yani with water and snow and hail. Wanaqqihi min al-khataya and purify him from al-khataya, yani al-khatiya, sins. Purify him from the sins. Kama yunaqqa al-thawbu, it should be with dhamma, al-thawbu al-abyadu. In the same way that a white garment is purified min al-danas, from impurities or stains. Wa abdilhu, and exchange for him daran khayran min darihi, a home that is better than his home. Wa ahlan khayran min ahlihi, and a family that is better than his family. Wa zawjan khayran min zawjihi, and a spouse that's better than his spouse. Wa adkhilhu al-jannata, and admit him into the paradise. وَأَعِذْهُ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ, and grant him refuge, protection from the punishment of the grave. And in some narration said, مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ وَمِنْ عَذَابِ النَّارِ. Oh yeah, Jazakallahu khair. And min is written as men. And yani on the top of page 17, وَأَعِذْهُ, it says men, it should be min. Should be min. Wa'idhu, and grant him refuge or protection from azab al-qabri, from the punishment of the grave. And in some of the narrations, Shaykh al-Albani mentioned, wa min azab al-nar. Min azab al-qabr, wa min azab al-nar. From the punishment of the grave, and from the punishment of the fire. Then it says, as-salatu ala al-mayyiti fardu kifayatin. The prayer upon the deceased is a communal obligation. Idha qama bihi ba'adun. If some of the people fulfill it, saqata al-ithmu an al-baqi, then the sin is dropped, dismissed from those who remain. Any question? Any question? Naam. Wa alaykum as-salam.
This is how the du'a was reported.
Is this how it was reported?
Yeah. So that it was reported in the Mudakka 4. So if we do the prayer on the
Naam. Naam. Now, if this is reported in masculine form, yani the pronouns that are used here are masculine, if the deceased is a female, then we should change the pronouns from who to ha. Now, we should change the pronoun from who to ha. Now, Allahumma ighfirha warhamha. Now, like this. Change it from who to ha. Now. Now. Generally, yani zawj. Zawj, yani generally in Arabic speech, people say zawj to mean a husband, and zawja with tarmabuta to mean a wife. But technically, linguistically, zawj means spouse. It's used for both masculine and feminine. Zawj means a husband, zawj means a wife. that correctly in Arabic language. Now. Allahumma aghfir laha. Yani instead of who, biha. Naam. Allahumma aghfir laha warhamha. Naam. Jazakallah khair. Okay. Let's look at the questions. Tamarin. Tamarin, on page 17. There are two groups of questions. Questions related to Salatul Janaza specifically and questions related to linguistic issues, right? Okay, so the first set of questions, Uktub Sifat al-Salat al-Mayyiti. Write the description of the prayer upon the dead. Did anybody write it? Huh? Did anybody write it? I know it's written on our paper on page 16, but did anybody write it? Yani yourself, did you write it out? Okay, nobody wrote it. Allahumma musta'in, except me, I wrote it. I wrote it. Naam. I wrote it. Okay, no problem. It's only four lines, right? Let's see, yani, if we can recite it without reading it. I mean, look at it, but don't read it word for word. Just take a look at it and then, yani, the first line. Who can read the first line? I mean, recite the first line. You could take a look at it. I don't mind. Take a look at it. But when you get ready to recite, you can't look at the paper anymore. If you can't remember, somebody's going to have to help you, okay? Everybody else can help. So everybody take a look at the first line, and then let's see if we can recite it line by line by line. Now, Abu Bakr, take the first line. Yanwi wa yukabbiru wa yakra'u al-fatihata. Jaib. Anybody else can memorize it without looking at the paper? First line. Naam. Adam. Yanwi?
First line.
Yanwi wa yukabbiru.
Wa
yakra'u al-fatiha. Naam. Meaning surah al-fatiha. Naam. Anybody else? Naam. Abu Abdul Haq. ينوي ويكبر ويقرأ الفاتحة. نعم عبد الرحمن.
ينوي ويكبر ويقرأ الفاتحة.
نعم فايز.
ينوي ويقرأ.
يكبر
ويقرأ الفاتحة.
جيد. Okay, second line. Let's take a look at it. And then let's see if we can say it without reading it from the paper. Okay, we're going to start with Muhammad Rashid. يكبر ويصلي على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Okay, Muhammad Jabir. يكبر ويصلي على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم, somebody else. نعم, عبد الحق. يكبر ويصلي على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. عبد الكريم. صلى الله يعني يكبر ويصلي على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فاز. نعم, شعيب. نعم, يكبر ويصلي على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. اوكي, ثيرد لاين. نعم, ابو بكر. يكبر ويدعو للميت. Somebody else. عبد الحق. يكبر ويدعو للميت. Adam. يكبر ويدعو للميت. محمد جابر. يكبر ويدعو للميت. عبد الرحمن. Type the last line. Look at it. Take a look at it first. They had a fatatain on top of the wow, and you kept biru wa yadu. There's fatatain, tanween. A lot of tanweens on here. Computer was out of control, right? You kept biru wa yadu lil mayyiti. Okay, last line, huh?
Naam.
The last line has dhamma on the wow instead of Yeah, the Dhamma is in the wrong place. Naam. Okay, last line. Somebody read the last line to us. Naam, Abdul Haq. Yukabbiru wa yusallimu. Somebody else. Faiz. Yukabbiru wa yusallimu. Somebody else? Javed? Yukabbiru wa yusallimu. Naam. Shuaib. Yukabbiru wa yusallimu. Anybody else? Uh-huh. Dawood. Yukabbiru wa yusallimu. Naam. On top of the wow, yeah. Okay. All right. This is yani what we this is part of the exercise here, right? The description of Salat al-Mayyit. Number two, kam takbiratan. Should be kam takbiratan. Why takbiratan? There's no vowel in there. Why should it be takbiratan? Kam takbiratan. Wa alaykum salam. Huh? Because after kam, the tamyiz of kam is singular, mufrad, and mansoob. Singular, mufrad. It's mufrad, and it's mansoob. Kam takbiratan. So what is the meaning? Kam takbiratan nukabbiru fi salati ala al-mayyiti. What is the meaning? How many times are you going to say Allahu Akbar in the prayer for the deceased, for the dead person? Okay, how many times? Somebody know, who knows how many times? Naam, Abu Bakr. Naam, yukabbiru arba'a takbirat aw khamsa aw sitta aw sab'a ila tis'a. Naam. Next question. Yani, in other words, you make four takbirs, or five, or six, up to nine. Number three, ماذا نقول بعد كل تكبيرة؟ ماذا نقول بعد كل تكبيرة؟ What is the meaning of the question? What do we say after each of the pronouncements of Allahu Akbar? After each takbira, what do we say? Okay, first one, بعد التكبيرة الأولى. نقرأ الفاتحة. نعم. وبعد التكبيرة الثانية. نعم. نصلي على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وبعد التكبيرة الثالثة ندعو للميت. وبعد التكبيرة الرابعة شعيب. يقول يسلم يسلم. Okay, he said بعد التكبيرة الرابعة يسلم. نعم. Anybody want to give another answer? That's what we have here, right? But we want to give a little more details. نعم. ندعو ما شاء الله. نعم. أو نقول ما شاء الله أن نقول. نعم. Any whatever Allah wills that we say of supplication of that which is good, and we can recite wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. نعم. نعم. طيب. Question number four. Question number four. هاتي دعاء من أدعية للميت. What is the meaning of the question? Hati du'aan min. Bring, give, offer a supplication from the supplications for the dead person. Somebody give us one of them. Naam. طيب ما شاء الله. He gave us the first one. Anybody else memorize this supplication? اللهم اغفر لي هينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا. Memorize? نعم. فايز. Ahsant. Now, anybody else memorize that supplication? This is a very common supplication. It's written in a lot of books concerning Salatul Janazah, and it's a very beautiful supplication. It contains a lot of good meaning, and it's something that yani, we should learn. So any one of these supplications, the last question is, from this part, ما حكم الصلاة على الميت? ما حكم الصلاة على الميت? What is the ruling concerning Salat over the deceased? What is the ruling, the legal ruling? Now, فرض حكم الصلاة على الميت فرض كفاية. It is what? فرض كفاية, meaning communal obligation on the whole of the community. As long as some of the people fulfill it, we're all safe. Otherwise, we're all to blame. And by the way, yani, just as a reminder to myself and each of us, especially in this month of Ramadan, look for every opportunity to earn the reward of Allah. And from the greatest of opportunities is that a person dies in the month of Ramadan, and the people, yani, pray for that person. People pray for those that person. And the roles should be an odd number of roles, like 3 or 5 or 7, even if some of them are not complete, and this is also from the Sunnah. And when the people line up for prayers, should be an odd number, like 3 rows, or 5 or 7 or 9, even if we don't have enough people for one full row, then we'll break up those people who are there into 3 incomplete rows, and this is from the Sunnah. This is from the Sunnah. And again, all of this is mentioned in Ahkam al-Janazah by Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani. That book is a valuable book. Yani, whoever doesn't have it, I recommend that you purchase it. It's worth whatever it costs. If it's $10 or $15, it's worth it. Yani, even if it's more or less, it doesn't matter. A book is worth more than yani, a meal. A meal that you eat and it's finished and it's gone, right? When you could just eat a peanut butter sandwich and you'll be full too. Or 2 peanut butter sandwiches. And a glass of milk maybe, or juice, huh? I think it's translated. I think it's translated, yes. Now, not counting the imam. No, the lines behind the imam. Okay, we just have a few minutes. Let's try to finish this exercise so we can go to the new topic. Okay, the last exercise on bottom of page 17, it says, Ba hati al-mudari wal-amru min al-af'al al-atiya. Hati al-mudari'a wal-amru min al-af'ali al-atiyati. Okay, give the present tense and the command form, imperative form of the verb, from the following verbs. Okay, read the past tense form and give us the mudari and the amr. Okay, somebody, who take the first one? The first one. The first one should be da'a. It should be? Should be da'a. Now. Da'a yad'u. What is the fi'l amr for to supplicate? Udu, udu, udu. Now, what's the second one? The second one is ghafara, ghafara. What is the mudari and the amr? Ghafara. Yaghfiru, Ighfir, ighfir. Yaghfiru, ighfir. Like yajlisu, ijlis. طيب, the next one, rahima, rahima. Yarhamu, Irham, irham, like ishrab. Shariba yashrabu, ishrab. Irham, yani have mercy upon him. Yani da'a, supplicate. Ghafara, forgive. Rahima, have mercy. Afa, afa means what? To pardon. What is the fi'l mudari? Afa, ya'fu, like da'a yad'u. Ya'fu, naam. U'fu, u'fu, yani, naam. Next one, نقّى, نقّى, with شدة on the قاف, نقّى. What's the مضاري? ينقّى is مبني للمجهول. نقّى, ينقّي, ينقّي, نقّى, ينقّي. And the فعل عمرة? نقّي, نقّي. Short, naam. Ahya. Ahya, naqqa means to purify something, right? Ahya means to give life. To give life. Huh? Ahya, yuhyi. Yuhyi wa yumit, right? Allah, yuhyi wa yumit. Yuhyi, ahya, yuhyi. And the fi'l amra? From ahya is like aslama, yuslimu, aslim. Amana, yu'minu, amin. Huh? Ahyi, ahyi, ahyi. After this, tawaffa, tawaffa. Tawaffa, what's the fi'l mudari? Where's the harf mudara? Tawaffa, yatawaffa, yatawaffa. Yani you have to add for the mudari, you gotta add the mudari letter, right? Tawaffa, yatawaffa. And the fi'l amr is? Tawaffa. Tawaffa, without alif maksura. Tawaffa. Akram. Akram means what? Oh, tawaffa. What does tawaffa mean? Tawaffa, huh? Yeah, to die. Tawaffa, to die. Tawaffa, naam. Yeah, tawaffa, he died. Naam. Huh? Qatala, to kill. Qatala, to kill, naam. Akrama means to honor. What is the mudari? Yukrim. Akrama, yukrimu, fi'l amra. Huh? Akrim. Akrim. Like aslam. Aslam, akrim. Abdala means to exchange. To exchange, to replace something with something else. Abdala. Yubdilu. Abdil. Abdil. Naam. Abdala, yubdilu, abdil. Adkhala, same form, adkhala, yudkhilu, adkhil. This is the fourth form of the verb, right? Of the mazid verb. Like af'ala, like aslama, yuslimu, aslim. Yani not adkhala, it's not like dakhala. Dakhala, yadkhulu, udkhul, right? This is adkhala, to cause somebody else to enter. Yudkhilu, adkhil. Fi'l amr, adkhil. Anyway, some of these forms we haven't had in this level 2, so this might be a little bit ahead of some of us, but in any case, you can just kind of make a note of them. Okay, the last question, Hati jama' al-asma al-atiya. Give the plural of the following nouns. The first word is thaljun. What is this plural? Huh? Question? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay, this is the fourth form of the verb he's asking about from adkhala, right? Adkhala. This is the fourth form of the verb adkhala. In the mudari, it's going to be yudkhilu. 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 Yani like aslama yuslimu. Aslama. Aslama yuslimu. Yani yuslimu, Muslim. Okay, plurals. Plurals are the following words. Thalj. What is the plural of thalj? Thuluj. Thuluj. The plural of... Yani what is thalj anyway? Yeah, it's sometimes used for ice or sometimes used for snow. But here, in this supplication, it's snow. Taib. Qabrun. What is the... Kuburun. Huh? Kuburun. Naam. Kubur. What is the qabr? A grave. Okay, denas. Denas. What is the meaning of denas? A stain or impurity. And it's plural? Adnas. With a long elongation. Adnas. Thawbun. What is the meaning of thawb? Clothing or garment. Naam. It's plural? Thiyab. Thiyab. Hayyun. What does it mean of hayyun? Yeah, it means life. It also means like a district, yani an area where people live, a district, hay. Okay? Here we mean the hay, here we mean the living. Yani, Allahumma gfir li hayyina wa mayyitina. Hay, living, hayyina. The plural of hayyun, ahyaun, ahyaun. Mayyitun, amwat. And there's another plural for mayyit that's very common also. Maut, who said that? Mauta. Mauta, fresh from over there on the other side. Barakallahu feek. Ahlan bikum, ya Ibrahim. Barakallahu feek. Ibrahim is back. طيب. ذكر. ذكر. Plural ذكور. What is the meaning of ذكور? Males. Untha. Untha. What is the meaning of it? Female. And it's plural? Inath. Inath. Okay, last question, number 3. Hati mufrad. Give the singular of the word khataya wa dhunub. What is the singular of khataya? Khata or khati'a. Okay, we'll talk about it. Dhunub. What is the singular of dhunub? Dhamb. Dhamb. Okay, khata. Yani khataya, it's actual, the singular of khataya is khati'a. Khati'a. Khata, yani, and khati'a are similar. They both mean a mistake or error, but khati'a means a sin. A sin, more specifically. Yani, even though both of them, their meanings are almost the same, and sometimes they're used interchangeably, but if you want to differentiate between khata'a, yani, means a mistake or error, or slip, or lapse, or fault, khata, and khati'a also means a mistake or error, but it means a sin, an offense. A person committed a sin. Okay, so more specifically, khati'a means a sin. But it means error or mistake likewise. And khata means more specifically a mistake or error, but it could also be used to mean a sin. Okay, but in any case, the actual plural, any khataya, its singular is khati'a. Yani, let me write it on the board because it's written with Hamza Tilqat. Khati'a. 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 With Hamza Tilqat and Ta Marbuta. Khati'a. Tayyib. This is the end of this topic and we have yani, a few minutes, 3 or 4 minutes remaining. So we just want to introduce the next topic unless there's a question. Unless there's a question about the janazah, no.
No, it's not about the janazah.
Uh-huh. What is it about?
In the Quran, in Surah Al-Qamar, so there is a verse when Allah says, فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ يَدِعُ الدَّاعِ إِلَى شَيْءٍ مُّكُرٍ. الدَّاعِ, what's the ruling for الدَّاعِ?
What's the ruling for? The
I'rab? I expect you to have like يَوْمَ يَدْعُو الدَّاعُ.
I have to look at it. I'm not sure. Say it again.
فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ يَدْعُو الدَّاعِ.
يَوْمَ يَدْعُو الدَّاعِ. And it's the fa'il. It looks like it's the fa'il.
It
looks like that.
So what about يَوْمَ يَدْعُو? What about
يَدْعُو? يَدْعُو? يعني يَدْعُو, to call.
So the da'i is the one who is calling.
نعم.
Yeah, but the da'i is the fa'il.
Yeah.
So if we take the word da'i, so what's the masculine form for that?
We have to look at the ayah and look at the tafsir, because now we're talking about Quran, right? So we want to be careful about this. But in general, it looks like it's the fa'il. And
because I expect you to have like to say yawma yad'u da'u. So I don't understand why
you expect to have dhamma.
Yeah, dhamma.
Okay, this is yani not for this level. But we can say that the reason for this is because this is yani the verb, right? Da'a yad'u is what type of verb? Naqis. So the noun that comes from it is manqus. And the manqus, it's i'rab when it's marfu'un, is that, yani, we say that it is marfu'un, وَلَامَةُ رَفْهِ الضَّمَّ مُقَدَّرَ عَلَى الْحَرْفَ الْعِلَّ الْمَحْذُوفَ. Yani, the letter, the weak letter is deleted. We don't see it. So its vowel is also not seen. It's muqaddar. That's why you don't see the dhamma there. It's muqaddar. Anyway, this is from the verbs that are, yani, that the i'rab is taqdiri. I'rab taqdiri. You don't see the sign of its taqdir, but of its i'rab is understood. Alright, so that's really a little bit too advanced for this class right here. I don't want to go into details of that, but we'll talk about it maybe in another class. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we have time, yani, because we don't want to.
It talks about what you asked.
يدعو الداعي الآمن في يوم يخرجون من الأحداث واغفر له وضمر تقديره اذكر يوم قيل على حذف حرف الفاء وما فيه ومن جواب الأمر تقديره فتقول عنهم فإن لهم يوم يدعو الداعي وقيل تولى عنهم يا محمد فقد أقمت الحجة وصرهم يوم يدعو الداعي أرد عنهم يوم القيامة ولا تسأل عنهم الأحواف أنهم يعني he gives a long discussion but in any case يعني here he said it seems that Imam Qurtubi is saying that the da'i the one who's calling يعني is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني that Allah is telling him أعرض عنهم turn away from them يعني on that day يعني خلاص they have already يعني failed to answer. Yeah, but I think maybe he's saying the tafsir may clarify yani the i'rab of the sentence. Okay, we're going to stop here, right? I wanted to look at the next topic a little bit, but we don't want to go over time. We don't want to take time from the next class like we did last time. We don't want to do that this time, right? So just look at page 18 and 19, the beginning of the Hajj wal Umrah, the Mawaqit. And let me just make a note. On page 18, make a note that Mawaqit are qisman, two divisions. A, it says waqitu, it should be mawaqitu. The first word after hamza, hiya qisman, it should be mawaqitu. And the same thing on the ba, it says waqitu, it should be mawaqitu. Yani mawaqit, mawaqit instead of yani waqit, mawaqit. Yani meaning the boundaries of time or the boundaries of place that you shouldn't cross, yani except in the state of ihram. In any case, we don't have time to look at this today, but we're going to talk about the mawaqit. Means there are two types of mawaqit. There's time, yani when the hajj begins and ends, and there's also places, yani where you can't cross those boundaries.
Mawaqit
al-zamaniyya and mawaqit makaniyya. Yani the mawaqit, the boundaries of time and boundaries of place. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك.